Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and Happy New Year. Welcome to this, first edition of the year, 2015, of Creative Caravan Roadshow. I'm your host, Suzanne Lawrence, and my co-host, Wendy Dewar-Hughes, is here with me today. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Suzanne. Happy New Year to you and to everyone listening.
Yeah, this is great. Now, we're going to be talking today with two people who have co-authored a book, and I think they're also married, Nancy and Tony Martineau, and hopefully they're both on the line. So, Tony, I know I talked to you a second ago. Nancy's there with you?
Yep, we're both here.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here with us today.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Now, Wendy and I are kind of getting Creative Caravan Roadshow going with the intention of sort of promoting a lot of romance stories, sweet romance particularly. And I know when you had emailed me about being on the show, you said, well, our story is sort of a romance with a twist because actually it's more of I don't know what you call it. It's kind of a dystopian novel, which you don't really think of that in terms of sweet romance. But there is this romantic twist to it. So before we get into the book a little bit, though, just tell listeners a little bit about your background and how you both became writers and decided to write this book together.
Well, it's kind of funny. We've never done any writing before, and you would think we would start with something like a short story. But no, our background in medical rescue and search and rescue, Tony's in law enforcement, and I've been a nurse for 30 years. And we kept reading these post-apocalyptic novels, mm-hmm. you know, the ones that that the world is going to end, the electronics will go out, or the economy will collapse. And it was all about middle-aged men from the military background running around with guns, shooting each other with their backpacks on. And we mm-hmm. said, no, wait a minute. What about the people who survive? You know, do they not love? Do they not need to garden and make their way in the world and keep their family units together? So our book is much more of the homesteading side of the apocalyptic genre than the Rambo side.
Right. And it actually starts with a baby kind of being born, which I think is sort of a metaphor for life starting over or continuing, you know.
So, yeah, it was continuing right as the world as we know it was ending.
So that was a direct
metaphor, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great. So then you decide to write this book, and you've never written before. So how did you come up with this specific idea? And if you would, if people look on the website, the name of the book we should tell people is called Post Grid. And it says on the cover of the book that it's an Arizona EMP adventure. Now, some people may know what EMP stands for. I didn't, so I had to kind of look it up. My husband did. But anyway, tell people what that means, EMP.
Sure, we'll start with that. An EMP is a shortened version of electromagnetic pulse. And what that means mm-hmm. is the Earth's atmosphere is ionized either through an attack with a nuclear weapon or with just a giant solar flare. And that ionization causes a wave of electrical energy, which takes out the power grid. A strong surge of electricity runs down the power lines and burns everything up. And in certain instances, it can directly attack the electronics without even being connected to the power grid. So what that means is that the power goes away and all of your electronics stop working.
Okay. So the reason this book is called Post-Grid, there just is no grid. Everything's wiped out after this thing occurs. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Great.
So not only are the electrical power stations, you know, disintegrated, but people's cell phones, laptops, even automobiles mm-hmm. that have microcircuitry and computer chips, all that's gone.
Okay. Great. Well, I know kind of what other people are wondering about, and that is, tell us a little bit about the romance aspect of this story.
Well, the romance aspect, our main character is a nurse, and the hospital soon becomes untenable because we live in Arizona. We don't have any gravity-fed water systems. They're all pumped. So the hospital is immediately without power and without water. And, you know, the staff that's there soon becomes overwhelmed, and then the romance part of our novel begins as our character flees the Phoenix metropolitan area, you know, the huge city, to the country where her mom lives on a ranch. She comes across a wounded sheriff's deputy, and he's been shot, and being a nurse, of course, she's going to save him.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Wendy, you're awful quiet. You got any questions for our guest today?
Yeah, I was wondering too where the romance was going to come in, but that sounds like it was going to work really well. And I know what you mean as being a nurse. I'm not a nurse myself, but my daughter has worked at the Department of Nursing at the university near where we live, and she said, you know, the compassionate soul of the nurse is they can't resist it. So I can see where that would really work in your story, where for a nurse to come across someone wounded, she would be compelled to help. But what a great setup for a romance. My question is, when you started writing, I mean, I'm married too, and my husband and I do certain things together, but writing is not one of them. I wondered what it worked like for the two of you to write the story together.
Well, this didn't involve any painting, cutting, or nailing, so it was very good.
No pain.
No pain on that end. No, it's funny because when we started writing, we had this huge idea of what we wanted to do. We'd actually taken trips and mapped out a lot of the storyline and talked about it extensively. And then when we started writing, we would walk around the block for about 45 minutes every evening and talk about what the characters were going to do that next day and where we were at in the story and how we thought things fit in. And what was coming up later that we could tie into and so forth. So it was kind of, I don't know, it was wonderful for us. It really gave us something to do as a couple that brought all of our skills together. I think Tony wrote a lot of the male characters, not always, because if you're writing a scene, you know, you couldn't go back and forth. But if it was going to be a male-dominated scene, he would usually pick up and write that. And then if it was going to be the female-dominated scene, let's say canning or childbirth or, you know, whatever other scenes we did in the book, then I would pick that up. So, but we were very closely monitoring what each other was doing and editing each other. We gave each other free rein to change things in the manuscript as the other one came across it. And I think it really melded our styles. I don't think anyone's complained that they can tell who was writing.
That's good. Yeah. Wow.
Yes,
so did you
really
have like a typical writing day where you got up and you decided we're working every day, or were you still working at other jobs when you were doing this?
No, we actually have actual real jobs. So this fit in as time became available. And what would happen, the way we would work the writing is twofold. We had an outline of what we wanted to do. So in some cases, we would be working on separate chapters at the same time. So I had a chapter that I was doing. Nancy would have one that she was doing. Then we would go back and cross-reference. At other points, we needed to wait to see what was going to happen in the story to develop. So one person would write, a good portion, and then the other would go back and edit. So sometimes we were doing parallel play, and sometimes we had to play together.
Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, gosh. So how long did it take to write this total book?
Well, it took us 2 years, but I think the first year and a half was learning how to write. You know, seeing as how we've never done any writing together or ever done any writing, and I shouldn't say never. We do have two nonfiction books. We have Camp Health and First Aid in my pocket, and then we did three editions of Labor and Delivery and Emergency Reference, which ties back into the labor delivery. And those are on Amazon as well. But so we've never done any fiction writing. So to learn about beta readers was a huge boon to us. And the beta reading forum on Goodreads was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
We found people that wanted to read our genre. We found people that were knowledgeable about different subjects and who especially could write. So that was very, very nice.
Even away from the beta readers, on specific subjects, we were able to go into Facebook forums and such and ask specific questions. What about this? What about that? How would this work? And then that always gave a huge response from people on the Facebook pages.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Gosh, that's wonderful.
We think that the research for the book actually tied into the success that we've had with the book because so many people were involved in the writing. You know, they knew about the book coming up well in advance. We weren't spamming their Facebook page saying, buy the book. We were actually asking technical questions of people that might have those type of answers.
One thing I noticed in some material you just sent me is, and I was kind of wondering about this myself, where you've been asked previously when you were writing the book, you know, you want to always tell a good story, but was there a specific message you wanted to have in, you know, in this book? So tell us a little bit about that. What did you, why do you want people to read this other than just for the good story aspect?
Well, I think we want people to be aware that they need to be prepared in their own homes for whatever emergency might occur for them. So if you live in Oklahoma, you definitely be preparing for tornadoes. If you live in California, you should be preparing for earthquakes. If you live in the United States, you should be preparing for, a recession like we had in 2008. And so many people are unprepared. I went over to a friend's house. She'd had a premature baby. We were taking turns helping out at home while she was at the hospital. And I went into the pantry, and there was almost nothing to eat, maybe 2 or 3 days tops, and then things to be put together were limited. So I asked her when she returned home that evening, I said, do you need me to go to the store? And she goes, no, we go almost every day. And she was being very serious. They were eating out of their freezer, and a box of saltines and a couple cans of soup, and that's what they had on hand. And that's not what we do. We like to be prepared and have water. Like, we live in Arizona. So, a couple of days without water here could be devastating. So we store water and food.
Yeah. I'm surprised that people, you know, still are so unprepared because, like you say, you don't have to have any big major catastrophe thing, but just something. I mean, you know, we're really thinking, the grocery store is going to be open any time, but, you know, something could happen and you don't have that grocery store that you can get to every single day. And just have some water and some other stuff on hand. I don't know that you necessarily need to have months worth of food on hand, but, you know, a couple of weeks would be good. So that's surprising that people aren't prepared for these just, you know, small things. Because even here in the South, you know, we have ice storms and that'll put the power down and, you know, turn the electricity off and just different things like that. So that's good that you're wanting people to be more prepared, not necessarily for something that's this catastrophic, but just for everyday, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
I have a question. I have a question for the two of you. I'm curious about working, how you work together. And I want to know, what did you enjoy most about working together and publishing together? And also, what would be the most difficult parts of that, how you did that together?
Sure. We did a lot of preparation along with this. So we went to the Phoenix Comic Con for a couple of years running and attended workshops for writers. So that was just a lot of fun. And then you got to go and learn a little bit about writing, and it allowed us to speak with authors and be in workshops with them and have a give and take. We spent time researching. So part of that involved taking a road trip from here to Utah. So we spent a week on the road visiting with people, talking over things, deciding how the book would flow. So there was a lot of just plain fun aspects in the research. Nancy loves to get on the computer and research a topic. I do too. So there was a lot of that involved, and then back and forth on that. The writing style was good, back and forth. We worked pretty well with that. And at some points, you do come at loggerheads. Well, no, I really don't think that's going to work. No, you're absolutely wrong.
And so whoever wrote that section gets to keep it. That's the rule.
Wow. So, well,
because we are talking to other authors who I'm assuming are wanting to publish, I wanted to make a point really quickly that your book shouldn't be just a romance. It's almost impossible, I would think, to market. To come from the huge group of authors and make it to a point where your book is selling well. So I would suggest, and we did this unwittingly, but to make a subject, how do I want to say this? Make a subject that's not the romance, that's a lot of your book. Somehow to sell it, to bring it to people's attention.
You mean to sort of aim towards a special interest group?
Yes, because in our book we aim toward we have Mormon characters, we have Jewish characters, we have ham radio operators, we have cowboys, so our marketing is wide open. And if you market to 27-year-old females who meet a guy at the bar, and then they fight back and forth, and then they finally get married, I would think that would be a horrendously hard book to sell. And unwittingly, again, when we were picking our subjects on Amazon, you know, you have to put yourself into the genre. We went down the list and we said, well, it's kind of science fiction because it's about the grid ending, and it's Western because we live in Arizona. And then it went back to science fiction. So we've been number one in Western science fiction since it was published about 6-8 weeks ago. And we never would have been number one in romance.
Mm. That's a really good point.
Wow. I didn't even know there was a Western sci-fi genre. So that's interesting.
Well, we didn't either until we signed up. And
Yeah, I guess you find out all these kind of things. Well, that's great. Gosh. Hmm. Well, so tell us a little bit more
Try to get yourself to the end of the food chain there. Try to get into these really small, you know, genres and find out, I don't know. My next novel after this series, of course, will be steampunk. It's going to be a steampunk romance.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's still going to be romance, though, huh?
Oh, probably. I like writing it and reading it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gosh. Well, so tell us a little bit more about marketing, then. It sounds like marketing has been as big a process for you as actually writing the book, putting this all together and stuff. How soon did you start thinking about the marketing? Had you already got the book already written, or were you taking that into consideration as you started writing?
No, I've been on Goodreads, and a lot of the people there were talking about marketing, and I'd read a lot of that way before we were finished with the manuscript. I had 202 people who I'd given free copies to before published who had agreed to give us reviews on Amazon. So the day that we published, I put out a MailChimp email and said, okay, today's the day. I've been prepping you all this time. I sent you articles on how to write a review. I didn't ask them, you know, for a 5-star or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the day we published, we had 8 5-star reviews.
Oh, that's good.
And now we've been out 6 weeks, and we have 90, as of yesterday, we had 90 reviews. And we're still 4 stars.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's tell everyone Goodreads is just goodreads.com. Is that where people would go if they want to find out more about Goodreads?
Yeah, that's correct. And they have a lot of forums for writers. So they have people for romance and horror and beta readers and marketing. And it's endless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever put anything up on Wattpad?
No, we decided that with Amazon giving us 70% if we would be exclusive, that there was no reason to go anywhere else. That our main marketer, you know, our marketing would all be to one source, and we didn't want to divide that out.
Mm. Okay, great.
If you agree to be exclusive with Amazon, it's 70, and if you spread your work around, you'll get 35 from Amazon, 35%.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're talking about.
And I guess this new pool of sharing money has been a disaster for people. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it's called.
Unlimited. Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah, the authors that have joined that have seen their profits plummet. So they say their books are getting a lot of shares and no buys.
So with regard to marketing as well, do you have a website for your writing or for your book, and where can people find that?
The only social media we have is Facebook.
Okay, so you don't have enough.
We don't have an individual website, no.
Okay.
But we can do just about anything. We can, you know, message people, and we can put up documents there. So on our Facebook, we're under Novel Postgrid, and it's all one word.
Okay.
The other thing along with the marketing is in addition to having all of the folks reading and whatnot, again, we went back and looked at what were the components of the story. And in Facebook, we talked with each of those groups. As we said, we asked them questions. And we also asked for beta readers from each of those groups. And we said, if you're interested in horses, if you're interested in radio, if you're interested in any of this sort of stuff, please read the book and tell us what you think about it. Again, we had an active group of people just waiting for us to publish something before we ever actually got around to putting it up.
Gosh. Was any of the feedback hard to take, or could you kind of brace yourself for things? Because, you know, some people are not too kind when they give feedback.
And, you know, we haven't found that people were unkind. We have found that some are uneducated. And that in the several points, we were uneducated.
And some were brutally honest, which was good.
Not everyone's going to like your book.
Right.
And not only that, but there are some real, some real adjustments that we needed to make. We're not the world's greatest at all of this, but with the help from our beta readers and the other input, we were able to improve some. And hopefully as you continue to improve. But we got some brutally honest reviews, and they were more helpful than, gee, you're doing a great job.
Right. Yeah, that really doesn't help very much when people just get to tell you that. So what did you find to be the most difficult part of writing and the most difficult part now of being a published author?
Well, the most difficult part now for me is that the job is to market, and I don't find that very thrilling. There's nothing that I find fun about. It's like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get up and write an article today, or I have to, before I was writing, it was like, oh, my gosh, our character's going to fall off her horse and get injured today, or, our character's going to have a gun battle and fight off the marauding horde. No. So today it's just kind of, and I don't know if we're doing a horrendous amount of marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're that interested. We're kind of interesting because our whole goal in publishing was to make back the money that we had spent on professional editing, copy blocking, where they make the page look right on the page, and our graphic designer. So our all-in costs were $800, and we were blessed to make it back in 3 days.
Oh, wow. So that's impressive.
When we had set out, we said that we would be a success being first-time authors and never having put anything out there and not knowing what we were doing, that we would be a success if we just made back the money. And so we did.
That's great.
The other important goal for us was not to have people saying that we couldn't spell and we didn't know grammar. And that's why we sent it to a professional editor.
Even though we can't spell and we're not good at grammar.
That's good.
That's very important. I'm curious, too, are you planning to have a sequel or a series from this book or the same subject?
Yes. The first book is going to be the immediate effects of the EMP and how the community comes together, how seven people come together to make a new family, if you will, to survive. And then, of course, that's going to be our love interest. And then we have teenagers. You'd have to read the book. But the second book is Wagon Train from Phoenix to Utah. So they've decided that they cannot live here. There's not enough water. They can't grow enough garden, you know, that you can't sustain yourself in the desert. So our group is going to move. So the next one is Wagon Train to Utah. And then the third one is Rebuilding of Society, how you bring back money, how you trade, you know, how this all starts back up.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah, so have you plotted all those books already?
Yes, we kind of had to plot them while we were plotting the first one. You know, because there was so much we wanted to say that we knew we couldn't get into one book. And then this trip to Utah we did before we were, I think, halfway through the first book. So the trip to Utah was really the Wagon Train to Utah and the Rebuilding of Society. So that was kind of our research all at the same time.
That gave us an opportunity to think ahead. So right now we have the second book. We've started the second book, and it's been outlined. The third book we have is still fairly vague. We don't have a solid outline on that, but we have a good idea of what we wanted to do. The other thing that to bring out about that, the Utah portion and taking the trip, we stopped and talked to a lot of folks. I was specifically looking for an area for a ranch, and I had done some looking on Google Earth and the maps and that sort of stuff, and we happened to find a place that was the perfect spot. And along with that, Nancy and I went into a very small town in Utah, and we were very privileged to speak to a woman in her 90s who was the oldest living resident of the town, and she told us all about the town history and the local back lore. And it was wonderful. You'd never have an opportunity to do something like that on a regular trip.
Oh, what fun. That's great. Gosh. Well, do you have any upcoming events scheduled for your books that we could tell listeners about? Are you going to be on any more shows, or are you doing signings locally, or are you on the road? What's going on?
No, we can't do any signings because we're just ebook right now. I'm just now looking into print on demand from Amazon. So,
okay.
We don't have anything scheduled. We do, in the course of our daily lives, we go to these different prepper meetings, which are people that get together to be prepared on a local level. So those are kind of marketing opportunities. The word spreads pretty well through there. And then I've got an article written for the newspaper. We were kind of waiting for after the first of the year, trying to avoid all the holidays, get that out here in the next couple of days.
Which brings up a little bit about timing of the release. We released at the end of November, and it worked out very well, and then we ran right into the holidays. So, you know, as a little bit of a tip, you want to wait either before or after the major holidays to give you a chance to really get out there. Folks are busy. The first thing they don't want to do in the morning is get up and get your book. They need other things to get other things done.
Gosh. Well, so when you mentioned writing for the newspaper, are you talking about your local paper or what?
Yes. I went on to the internet and found all of the newspapers for Arizona. And for each one of those, I tried to get the editor or a reporter's email address. And then I'll write one article and we'll send it to the 87 newspapers in Arizona. We've gotten everything from the Backwater Creek Daily Time to, you know, the Phoenix major papers here. So, and then put that out there and see what we get.
Wow. Well, gosh, this has all been so interesting. We are almost out of time. And you give people the URL for your Facebook page so they can find all of out about your book?
Yeah, it's Facebook, and then you search Novel Postgrid.
Okay. All one word. Novel
and it's all one
post,
word.
Novel Postgrid, G-R-I-D. Okay, great. And people can also, if you're listening, you can just go to Amazon.com and type in Postgrid there in the search engine, and their ebook will come up on Amazon as well. So this has been real fun today, talking with Nancy and Tony Martineau, and you're in Arizona. And their book is called Postgrid. So we thank you so much for being with us. Before I let you go today, could you tell us what's your best tip for aspiring writers?
We were very lucky. Several of the post-apocalyptic writers actually contacted us. And one just came on the Facebook page and said, good luck. And we messaged him back and said, hey, can we ask you some questions? And so you might find people in your genre. We are more than willing, if you'll come on the Facebook page and then just send us a message. I'll try to keep up with those messages in the other folder. And you want to talk to us about marketing or writing or who is our editor, all of that's on the Facebook page, but we'd be more than willing to speak with you on the phone or message back and forth and try to answer questions.
Great, great. Well, thanks so much. Okay, well, listen, that's all for today. Thanks for being with us, Nancy and Tony and Wendy. Thanks for being here. And everybody listen for the next episode of Creative Caravan Roadshow next Friday. We're always on Fridays at 11 o'clock Pacific, which is 1 o'clock Central. So look forward to talking to more people. So Happy New Year, guys, and thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.